Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled Whether You Think You Can or Think You Cannot, You Are Right. Attitude Rules. This episode, was designed to help those who think negative about themselves and about their ability to understand that a negative self-understanding can be overcome. It is necessary that a negative self-understanding is put aside or supplanted so that the individual can grow in life. Now, the statement that is that I've used, the title of this show, was given by Henry Ford. And so this is a very powerful statement and one that deserves deep consideration. I have also, I'm also going to be reading from the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, and the particular section that I'm going to be reading is on the report of the explorers, that is, those who went in to put together a report, a reconnaissance report, a report on the promised land. Now, they could have gone in by faith and taken God at his word, but the people demanded evidence of what was there, what it was like. And so spies were sent in Numbers chapter 13 in order to explore the land of Canaan. So one spy from each ancestral tribe was chosen and sent. Now, it's very interesting that in Numbers 13 we read, these are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land. Moses gave Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Verse 17, when Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. And in parentheses it reads, it was the season for the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob, or Lebo, Hamath. They went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, lived. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut off there. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. So this was to be a comprehensive endeavor, and it was also to be a military reconnaissance. So this was to be a comprehensive report that they were to bring back to Moses and the entire community. So we go down in verse 26, and it reads, "They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole community or assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account, quote, 'We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, which is the desert. The Hittites, very powerful ancient people. And it's believed that some of the Hebrew laws were derived from the Hittites. This is also a black civilization, as were the Jebusites, too. The Jebusites lived in Jerusalem, and David and his men took the city of Jerusalem from the Jebusites. And the Amorites lived in the hill country. But later on, the Israel would settle in the hill country. And the Canaanites lived near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, 'We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it.' Caleb's name means desire. This is a very passionate man, a very godly man. So very positive characteristics. Verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, 'We can't attack. We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are.' And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored." Now, in Hebrew, it reads that this bad report means to utter a slander. And so we go into chapter 14 and verse 36. We read, "So the men Moses had sent to explore the land, who returned and made the whole community grumble against him by spreading a bad report about it." These men, responsible for spreading the bad report about the land, were struck down and died of a plague before the Lord. Of the men who went to explore the land, only Joshua or Yeshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, survived. Now, the word, the term bad report in Hebrew is devah. It means to utter a slander, or it means defamation. So this is very serious, that is what these men did to, they utter a slander against the character of God. So now back in chapter 13, we read in verse 31, "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are.' And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored." The Blythe Kennedy has an old book in, called Crowds of Power. And there's another powerful book, a very small book, that you should read called The True Believer. Very interesting study. Power dynamics. Here, notice what is going on. And notice what the report does to the group. We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. Now, this is the land God had promised his people. It was called the Promised Land. And God had told them, God had said that he was going to give to his people a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, a prosperous land. But along with that, God also told his people that they would have to go in and take the land. They would have to possess their possessions. In other words, they had to do something. God had opened the door. God had made a way. God had showed himself faithful for years. God had shown his consistency and his love. He had provided for every provision. But there's a very interesting term that's given in chapter 14 of Numbers, verse 36, which reads, "So the men Moses had sent to explore the land, who returned and made the whole community grumble against him by spreading a bad report." Now, that word grumble, it's used also in the Exodus material. And it is a very interesting term because in the Hebrew, it is the term lun, L-U-N, lun, or some say loon. It means to stay the night, to dwell an indeterminate amount of time. So this term is used there are seven lun or loon accounts in the scriptures. In Exodus 17 verses 2 and 3, Numbers 9, 53 and 34, Numbers 14, 2, Numbers 16, 41, and Numbers 21, 5. And so here is a term that denotes their consistent attitude, their rebellious attitude, their refusal to believe God in spite of the evidence. And God had provided them the evidence they needed to trust him and to believe his word. But we see their addiction to negative thinking. And with that, they were unable through their own negative thinking to move out in order to change their lives in a very powerful manner. Notice what else we read in Numbers 13. Verse 32, speaking of the spies, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. He said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim, There the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. I want you to understand the powerful negative impact of cognitive distortion, which is evident in the false testimony they gave about the land. Now, the community believed their words. They had this background of grumbling, or to grumble, or loon. And so these individuals, or these spies, played into that negative, addictive thinking that spread throughout the whole community. Eric Hoffer, let me add, was the author of True Believer. That book is well worth your time. And it is a powerful, very interesting book. Now, we saw the Nephilim. There, the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. These are individuals who had experienced the power of God at work for them in the first person, with their own eyes. And they saw God's powerful works. They saw what he had done to Egypt on their behalf. They saw the divine mockery at work. Divine mockery at work against the Egyptian gods. See, every attack against Egypt was against an Egyptian god. And God destroyed that system. God also parted the Red Sea, or the Sea of Reeds, for the for these people. They had seen this. They had experienced this in the first person. But there is a very interesting the information about this particular generation given to us by the writer of the book of Hebrews. And so these individuals in Numbers 13 believed this slander uttered against the Jericho God by these spies for a compelling reason. And we have to go to Hebrews chapter 4 to see that reason. Here we read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, "Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith." That verse, verse 2, "Whether you think you can or think you cannot, you are right." So God had provided, they had experiences with God. They had seen his power at work. Faith is not a leap in the dark. And there is no such thing as blind faith. Using the modifier of blind before the noun of action in Greek, faith, which is pistis, cannot be done. The writer to the Hebrews in chapter 11 also says something very important to us. In Hebrews 11:1, he states, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." This is what the ancients were commended for. So he says faith is, and he uses the state of being verb. He speaks about the reality of faith. Faith is. And faith is being sure or certain of what we hope for. And certain of what we do not see. It begins this chapter on the heroes of faith with this very important definition. So the Bible gives us a definition of faith. You will maybe, let me say that the term faith as such is not used as a noun in the Old Testament. There's no noun for faith. What we do find are actions that are done actions that are performed to show that it is trusting God. See, is what one does. The Hebrews had concrete thought forms. And so the foundation of the Old Testament, and indeed of the Hebrew language itself, are very, very interesting verb forms. The Hebrew alphabet has only 22 consonants. And so this is a very beautiful concrete language. So faith is what one does, not what one says. Whether you think you can or think you cannot, you are right. It is all one's attitude. And our attitude determines in life our altitude, how high we will go, what we will do with what we have. Now, you will also note the prominence of fear in the spies. And along with that fear, there's elaborate excuse making. Fear and excuses always go hand in hand. And not only that, they were rebellious, and there is a relationship between rebellion and fear. Please read 1 John 4:18. So they would not get off their responsibility of doing what God has called them to do. God said, go in, take the land, possess your possessions. But they were hampered by fear. And you see how old fight or flight really is. It's very old. And cognitive distortions are as old as humankind as well. And you see how old, in certain parts of scripture, how old cognitive behavioral therapy is. Now God had made promises to them. In the book of Titus, Paul says that God is a God who cannot lie. God cannot lie. In 1 John, we read that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There's no darkness in the character of God. God does not bring us to, not to lead us through. If God has brought us to, he has determined to lead us through. That is important to understand. So, through their negative thinking, they slandered the character of God, for which they were accountable, for which they were responsible. And there are consequences for failure to believe God. And these spies who came back with their lie-based thinking lied to the community, slandered God, paid with their lives. In chapter 14, verse 37, we read, These men responsible for spreading the bad report about the land were struck down and died of a plague before the Lord. Of the men who went to explore the land, only Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, survived. Now, if you are around individuals who are negative, and their negativism has impacted your life, so that you feel or you cannot move out and do positive things for your life, maybe you need to speak. You do need to get away from that group. Because as long as you remain therein, you will be powerless. You need to be with those who will empower you or help you to be empowered so that you can change your life. God had given and promised his people marvelous blessings, but they had to follow him. They had to listen to him. We have to choose. We have to choose. Will we listen to God and do what he has called us to do, or will we listen to the naysayers who hold us down, who repress us with their criticism, who repress us with their lie-based thinking, who repress us with their negative attitude towards everything? Everything about them is negative. Some withering comment, a virulent attitude that is disease-carrying. You know, these negative attitudes are pathogenic. They create disease. And you don't want disease in your soul. You want to be free. You want to have a life that's real, that's substantial. And therefore, you need to get to God. And God will give you a new group of individuals who will be supportive, who will seek to empower you so that you can step into your full potential. There's so much at stake with your mind, with your emotions, with your body. Your immune system is at stake. So much is at stake if you stay around negativism. You need to be set free. You need to have the fear out of your life. You need to be able to get the tools that you need in order to live a life that is free so that you can be at peace, so that you can have those things in life that God has said or would be a blessing for you. Whether you think you can or think you cannot, you are right. Please remember, change your attitude, change your life. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.